You will find it very helpful to have a Bible open at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I hope you can see the text there in front of you. That will be helpful to you. And we come this morning to the concluding words of Paul's letter to the Christian believers in Colossae. And I've found myself struck by an important dimension to this letter that I suspect I may not have noticed, or at least may not have appreciated, but for our odd circumstances this morning. Here we are, connecting with one another by the technology of our day, and yet very conscious that we are separated from one another, being located in many different places, some of us far away. Now remember the situation of this letter. Paul, the great apostle, imprisoned under house arrest in Rome. And this letter has been brought from him to the group of believers gathered in the home of Philemon in the town of Colossae in the Lycus Valley. A long way, at least a couple of thousand kilometres. And this letter, if I can put it like this, was the technology of the day that connected people over vast distances, and we'll see this rather powerfully in these concluding words in a few moments. But what we're going to see is that once they are connected, just like us, we will appreciate that there is more going on than what was accomplished by the technology. I found myself thinking of Paul's final words in this letter here in chapter 5, here in chapter 4, as, can I put it like this, the chat function of this ancient way of connecting. We're going to see the names of no less than 10 people. They are ordinary people like us, whose names happen to have been captured in these closing words. In our imagination, we are sitting in Philemon's living room, and we will cast our eyes down the chat function, and I believe we'll find ourselves deeply moved. Just to indicate where we're going, we're going to see 10 names, and these 10 names fall into three groups. First, in verses 7 to 9, there are just two people who have come from Rome to Colossae with this letter. They're mentioned. I call them the postmen. They, of course, are here with us in Philemon's living room. Then second, in verses 10 through to 14, we'll hear of six other people who were with Paul in Rome as he wrote the letter. And we here in Philemon's living room, we know them, and how good it is to see their names. And then thirdly, in verses 15 through to 17, Paul has something to say about two other people who are known well to us and who are closer to home. And then very finally, in verse 18, Paul will take the pen from his scribe and sign off with a greeting in his own hand. So that's the general direction in which we're going. But we begin with the two people who have brought the letter from Rome to Colossae. The first of these two is Tychicus, verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Now, Tychicus, you might remember, he is the man who's been reading the letter to the gathering. I like to imagine as he got to these words, he may have blushed a little. But Tychicus had accompanied Paul on his missionary adventures around the Mediterranean for quite some time. We hear about him in the book of Acts, and Paul, in fact, mentions him in four of his letters. And it's quite clear that he was a much-loved colleague, someone whom Paul trusted with a number of important tasks. And one of them, the most recent, has been carrying this letter all the way from Rome to Colossae. However, he was not previously known to the believers in Colossae who were listening to him read out the letter. And so Paul commends him to them in these words. And I love the terms he uses. Imagine what it would be like to be introduced by Paul with these words. He is a beloved brother. How remarkable that is. The very Jewish Paul, speaking like this of the Gentile, Tychicus. Wonderful, really. But then you might remember at the beginning of this letter, Paul described all the believers there in Colossae, most of whom were Gentiles, Gentiles that he himself had never met. He describes them as faithful brothers. See, friends, this is the historic wonder of the fruit the gospel of Jesus Christ is bearing in all the world. Let's never take for granted the bonds between people that Christ creates. He is a beloved brother and a faithful minister or faithful servant. Do you remember how Paul explained earlier in this letter his own role as a servant of the gospel, who worked so hard to make Christ known? Well, Tychicus is a faithful servant too. A servant of Christ you can trust. He won't let you down. And stronger language still, he is, it says here literally, a fellow slave in the Lord. So Paul in Rome and Tychicus now in Colossae were fellow slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as Paul is concerned, there's nothing better than that. And verse 8, I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. I love that phrase, encourage your hearts. Encouraging hearts is what Paul's gospel work aimed to do. We saw that back in chapter 2. It's what this letter aims to do. And I'm sure that Tychicus not only read the letter, but explained whatever needed explaining, answered questions that may have occurred to the hearers, and so he encouraged their hearts. The very experience that I hope has been ours as we have listened to this letter. Well, another man has come from Rome to Colossae with Tychicus. This man was known to the Colossians, verse 9, and with him Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. Well, here is one of the truly remarkable characters in the New Testament, and one of the remarkable stories. We looked at it closely last year, some of you may recall. Onesimus. Well, Onesimus was a slave whose master had been Philemon, in whose house this letter is now being read out to the assembled believers. Sometime earlier, Onesimus had robbed his master and run away. And somehow, we don't know all the details, but somehow he had made his way all the way to Rome. And somehow, again, we don't know the details, he met Paul. And Paul had led him to faith in Christ. And Onesimus was now returning to Colossae and to his master. And with him, there is another shorter letter, from Paul to Philemon. That's the letter that we looked at last year. But imagine the look on Philemon's face. Imagine the surprise, everyone else's face too, as far as I can guess, as Onesimus is described by Paul, our faithful and beloved brother. this runaway, thieving slave is returning a brother, a faithful brother, a loved brother, a brother to Paul, back in Rome, and to you here in Colossae. So you see, he is one of you in a double sense. He's a Colossian, that's where he comes from. He comes from Colossae. But now he's a brother in Christ. Now, can you imagine how nervous Onesimus must have been in coming back to Colossae? It actually was a brave thing to do. But see the power of Christ to transform every situation, every relationship. So, verse 9, they, this is Tychicus and Onesimus, will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Well, there are the first two names to appear in the chat. Secondly, there are six others who were in Rome with Paul. So Paul turns to pass on greetings to the Colossians from some of those who are with him at the time as he's writing. Three of them turn out to be Jewish people and three of them Gentile people. Let's have a look at them. The first is named Aristarchus. You see verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. Aristarchus is another of Paul's companions in his travels. We meet him again in the book of Acts. He'd accompanied Paul to Jerusalem and then on his journey to Rome. And now we learn that he was apparently imprisoned with Paul there in Rome. And he sends his greetings, Aristarchus. And second, again in verse 10, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. Now this Mark, this is John Mark, and there's been a bit of a history between John Mark and Paul. We won't go into all the details, but John Mark had travelled with Paul and his cousin Barnabas on the first missionary journey. But Mark had pulled out and returned to Jerusalem, much to Paul's annoyance. And indeed, this had led to a serious falling out between Paul and Mark's cousin Barnabas, who took Mark's side on this particular occasion. Now, that happened about 12 years before the writing of this letter. How good it is to see that the rift is now healed. The Christians in Colossae had already received instructions from someone about Mark, and perhaps the falling out with Paul had taken some living down. But here Paul adds his word. If Mark comes to you here there in Colossae, welcome him. If falling out happens between Christian people, how good it is that the healing of rifts also happens. This Mark, just by the way, is almost certainly the author of the Gospel, according to Mark. It's quite interesting to see that two authors of New Testament books could have personal issues and could have them sorted. A third name from Rome to appear in the chat, sending greetings to Colossae, was in verse 11 again, and Jesus, who is called Justice. I wonder whether Jesus was a name that you didn't use these days for obvious reasons, and so he was given another name, Justice, whatever. But about whom we know no more than we learn here. But Paul says of Aristarchus, Mark, and Justice, end of verse 11, these are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. That is, these three are the only Jewish Christians who have stuck by Paul all this time through his trials. Isn't that astonishing? At this late stage in Paul's life and ministry, only three Jewish fellow workers were still with him, working for God's kingdom. The struggle to take Christ to the nations, my goodness, it had not been easy. It had been hard, hard work, and it had cost Paul dearly. And just three of his fellow countrymen were still with him. Not that he was complaining. See the very end of verse 11, and they have been a comfort to me. And again, do you see the goodness of the bonds of Christian love? You can sense it, can't you, how Paul valued these three friends who had stuck by him, who were still with him. Well, there were three others that have to be mentioned, and most importantly, in verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Epaphras, how good it is to see that name. Dear Epaphras. Epaphras, who had been converted to Christ years earlier during Paul's time in Ephesus, and he had then brought the gospel of Christ back here to his hometown of Colossae and to the nearby towns of Laodicea and Hierapolis. And sitting here in Philemon's living room, we remember how we heard the gospel and understood the grace of God in truth from Epaphras. More recently, Epaphras had travelled all the way from Colossae to Rome to tell Paul about the Colossian believers. That's what prompted the writing of this letter. How good it must have been to see the name of Epaphras. I like to imagine, and I don't think this is inventing anything, but I do like to imagine Paul and Epaphras and perhaps Aristarchus and John Mark and Justus, there in Rome, meeting regularly to pray for the Colossian believers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Then verse 13, for I bear him witness that Epaphras has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea, and in Hierapolis. Paul is talking about Epaphras' prayers. Now there are two more of Paul's companions who want to get a word in, and I'm sure that they were in the prayer group as well. Verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Now Luke, of course, is the author of the gospel that bears his name, as well as the book of Acts. He was a companion of Paul right to the end. Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke sent his greetings to the Colossian believers. Demas, well, we know very little about Demas except that sometime later, after this, he deserted Paul in rather sad circumstances. In Paul's last letter to Timothy, he mentions that Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. But that lay in the future, and perhaps it can be a reminder to us that the future will bring temptations to all of us. But just think about that little prayer group there in Rome. Interested, concerned, thrilled about the Christian believers in faraway Colossae, giving thanks to God for the wonder the gospel had accomplished in these lives, and praying for their growth and their maturity. Isn't it amazing that that prayer group included three men who would write 60% of the New Testament? Mark, Luke, and of course Paul. Tell you, that little prayer meeting turned out to have quite an impact on the history of the world, didn't it? So we've seen the names of two men who brought the letter from Rome to Colossae, Tychicus and Onesimus, and six names of people there in Rome with Paul: Aristarchus, Mark, Justus, Epaphras, Luke, and Demas. There are just two more who are closer to home. First, verse 15, give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. Just as the believers met together in Philemon's house in Colossae, it seems that the believers in Laodicea gathered in the house of a woman named Nympha. And Paul wanted the two churches to be in touch with one another, no doubt for various reasons, but including that they could exchange their letters from Paul. So verse 16, and when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. We no longer have that letter, the letter that Paul wrote to the Laodiceans, but do you notice how from the very beginning Paul's letters were intended to be read aloud in the gatherings of believers, just as we've been doing over these last months with this letter to the Christians in Colossae. One last name, verse 17, and say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Now, the Colossians knew Archippus. He was one of their number, and they knew what his ministry was. We don't really. There is some hint that he may have been, in fact, Philemon's son. And it may be that Paul had heard from Epaphras that Archippus was discouraged or under some pressure or growing weary. We don't really know. We simply hear Paul giving this word of encouragement to one member of the Colossian fellowship to stick at it, hang in there, complete your God-given ministry. Don't give up. Well, friends, at last this magnificent letter is done. And what happens at the end, as Paul often did, he takes the pen from his scribe and in his own hand he writes the last line. Verse 18, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Indeed. And may the grace of which he has spoken right through this letter, may that grace, the grace of God, be known among us, as it was known among the wonderful assortment of ordinary people like us, whom we've glimpsed through the window of this letter's concluding words. And friends, as we've seen something of the actual people, some in far-off Rome, some in Colossae, let's notice how the grace of God has touched us, just as it touched them. Let's appreciate the bonds of love that unite us, just as each of the names here represented were brothers and sisters in Christ. Though for a time they were unable to see one another, directly that is, they were unable to actually be in each other's presence. But brothers and sisters in Christ they were. You see, these names that we've worked our way through, they represent ordinary people just like you and me. They were individuals who had come to faith in Jesus Christ. They were eager to serve him in various ways, including praying. And I'm sure that they would all jump at the opportunity to see one another whenever that opportunity presented itself, like John Mark, perhaps getting to Colossae and those kind of things, to meet face to face. Why? That would be wonderful when and if they could. But the bonds between them, they remained real. They remained strong, despite the distance. They were people with their ups and downs. They were people with their anxieties and their hopes. They were people with their fears and their joys. They were people with their disappointments and their surprises. But what they shared was the grace of God, the goodness of God, the love of God that they had come to know by receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. You see, I do want us to think about this before we close. Your name could have been included in Paul's concluding words if you'd been living then. Are you conscious of sharing with the people whose names have appeared in our chat this morning, sharing with them the grace of God, the love of God, the goodness of God, because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Saviour? See, this is the Christian family to which it is our very great privilege to belong. Christian family that cannot be broken, not by a nasty little virus, not by lockdown rules. No, the bonds are strong. The grace of which Paul has taught us through this letter, may the grace of God fill our lives and continue to do so. Now, as we close, I'd like to do something a bit special. I believe that Mickey and Ellie Mantle and their kids have joined us today and connected with us, and I want to invite them to say hi to us in the chat function, and I'm hoping that this works, and I'm hoping that a greeting from them will appear in just a moment. Mickey and Ellie, Jono, Olivia and Theo, we want to say welcome, and as their name appears in the chat, and I hope it does at about now, I want to say, friends, these are beloved brothers and sisters. And our brother Mickey is a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. How we look forward to our fellowship with them, but a fellowship because of the grace of God that has already begun, even before we meet face to face. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonder of the Christian family, and we thank you for the fact that the bonds between us are so powerful that nothing can break them. We have our ups and downs. Like Paul and John Mark, there are fallings out from time to time between us. But there is power in what Christ has done for us. Power to draw us back together again. Power to establish a love between us like the world has never seen. And we want to pray this day for Mickey and Ellie, for Jono and Olivia and Theo, as they come and join us, and as they will join us in a more official way, so to speak, in a few weeks' time. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll watch over them as they have another week in quarantine and as they settle into their new home and then as they join us. We pray for your blessing on them, and we pray that the bonds of love that are real already will only grow stronger and stronger. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.